Good neighbors, bad neighbors. Talking historical bad neighbors in Arizona with Dr. David Dean from Grand Canyon University. Dr. Dean, quite an education there on the Pleasant Valley Wars. What a nice name for a war.
Pleasant Valley, yes. Well,
You've seen Pleasant Valley, if you've ever driven through Cole's Ranch, you know, going up to the rim top.
I mean, you're looking right down on it.
Yeah.
That is Pleasant Valley, and you were talking about some of the famous people. You know, if you're new to Arizona, you mentioned Bunky O'Neill. Well, there's a statue of him at the Prescott Courthouse on the north side. I mean, these are people that have, you know, monuments built throughout the state in their name.
Sure. The territorial days are pretty well commemorated here in the state of Arizona. You know, it wasn't just up in that northern Mogollon Rim area. I mean, the war stretched all the way down to Globe, Arizona. Like we mentioned in the last hour, a murder in Tempe. I mean, it was a big affair across the state.
Yeah. Well, other historic examples of bad neighbors.
Well,
I don't think we could skip over one of Arizona's more notorious residents in all of history.
Winnie Ruth Judd. So she was a very interesting character in that someone who got caught up in relationships people she worked with, people that were her neighbors, and she was renting from people, and they got kind of in this kind of love triangle, so to speak, and things went really bad, and she ended up murdering two people she was in, supposedly having this relationship with this man and the rival other lover, and she ended up murdering them. But what made her so notorious was her plan aftermath.
Yeah. That really stamped her legacy in history right there.
Right. It gave her the nickname the Trunk Murderess, and that's because she dismembered the bodies of the victims and put them into three trunks and then tried to escape to go to California to get away and to dispose of the bodies in California. But the problem was is that she went to the train station that night and had to wait for the train the next morning. Meanwhile, the freshly dismembered bodies of the two victims have been stuffed into these trunks. And by the next morning, they're kind of leaking.
This
all
was
over
before
the
plastic bags.
Yes.
Glad that the 50-gallon Glad sacks hadn't come along
yet. That's right. So because of that, they thought that she was carrying an animal in, a deer or something, which would have been illegal anyway to take on the train. So when they confronted her, they said, ma'am, there's something coming out of your trunks here that are probably, of course, the stench. There's flies all over the place. And so she fled. But eventually they kind of caught up with her and arrested her and opened the trunks and found what she had done. So
she spends time in the state hospital.
Mm-hmm.
She spends time in prison. I mean, she's actually defended by a very prominent local attorney who we just lost last year.
Yeah, and that defense was part of the prosecution, of course, wanted to make this a big dramatic story and suggest that she was really heavily involved in this murder, where the defense was really kind of revolving around she didn't do the murder, somebody else did, but she helped dispose of the bodies. And so they're trying to get her away from the murder itself.
As a resident of the hospital, wasn't she a regular escapee?
Very much a regular escapee. She often would disappear, get out and wander the streets. She spent one New Year, Christmas Eve out. Just said, apparently the food wasn't there very great there or something. But she actually escaped and made it all the way to Northern California one time and established a new identity and stuff. And lived there for about 7 years before they were finally returned to the state hospital kept there for a while. And finally, Jack Williams, the governor at the time, agreed to release her kind of a hushed kind of way. But her bid for parole was then successful, and she moved to Stockton, California, and lived out there the rest of her days.
Yeah, I mean, she died like in the late 90s.
1998, yeah.
Okay. So it would seem to me, with the examples we've brought up so far on being bad neighbors, we're all gross violators of the Ten Commandments.
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not covet.
Thou
shalt not steal. Rustle cattle and things.
So now I'd like to flip the table and go to great examples of very good Arizona neighbors when we get back with Dr. David D.
Sure.